SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final on the first day of this new week. It is a Monday live right here on the early line. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go and plenty of hardwood handicaps coming your way. We will go around the NBA on this Monday night, the final week of the regular season at the high major level of men's college hoops in college basketball, and some conference tournament action continues into the quarterfinal round of the A-Sun tourney on this Monday night as well. Handicaps, plenty of them. College basketball and NBA breakdowns, aplenty in this third and final hour.
Not too far away from Selection Sunday, and away we go, which then means Major League Baseball into the Masters and a lot of good times. So we're right in that cusp of, what can happen here over the final couple games as Ben says in the high majors, but also some of those mid-majors and below are getting their tournaments underway. And these guys, their championships aren't cutting down the nets at the Final Four and having fun there. It's winning this week, and their reward is actually getting to go to the big dance. You're going to see a lot of emotion and a lot of fun and a lot of basketball teams, Ben, with 26, 27, 28, 29 victories, not going to the NCAA tournament because of what level of college basketball they play in, which certainly is tough, which means we must expand the tournament.
No, we certainly must not expand the tournament because it would never benefit the mid-major, as you understand, Commissioner Wrightside. It would only allow terrible teams like Wake Forest without any quad one victories to get into the tournament and not actually benefit the mid-majors, who have proven time and again they can compete at the highest level. Beware of the bid stealers during conference tournament week. If you get some upsets at the mid-major level, that's how teams that might be deserving of some mid-major conversation for an at-large berth get left out of the big dance. All of that will be a part of the conversation here in this third and final hour. But DRS, of course, it was Combine weekend in Indianapolis. And really, there wasn't a ton of big news for prospects that had great weekends and really moved things up the draft board. Nothing that really was all that impactful. Some guys performing well athletically to probably see their draft stock on the rise. Armon Membu, the big offensive lineman out of Missouri, man, he looked athletically gifted over the weekend. But outside of that, DRS, not much. Really, the conversation from this week in Indy was all the NFL teams being in one spot in the conversations early in the offseason starting to flow, like the New York Giants. And what is their plan at quarterback this offseason? And who might it feature? Aaron Rodgers? Does that make sense to the people? We find out right now in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, a simple question with simple answers that maybe lead to some debate. Should the New York Giants sign Aaron Rodgers? Yes or no? Most of the public, DRS, more than 59% of the public, saying no, the Giants should not sign Aaron Rodgers this offseason. DRS, did you fade him?
Absolutely. And so actually, well, I faded the New York Giants by saying, no, they shouldn't, you know, have Aaron Rodgers. But the public themselves, no, I'm with it. 59%. It should be way higher than that. And the only thought process is maybe the Giants organization forcing all of their front office executives, ticket counters, anything you got to say, you know what? Head over to the Sports Grid account here at Sports Grid and make sure you vote yes so we can change the public opinion at this point. Because we've talked about it to start this show. It doesn't make any sense. Even, like, understand this, Ben. Like, if you say in a salary cap world, it's like, hey, we only have a certain amount of pay. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers called the Giants up and goes, I made just about more money than any NFL player in the history of the sport, which is a fact. I'm willing to play for you for $1 million. Can you please sign me? I say, you know what? Can't do it. I say, well, wait, you can sign a quarterback for $1 million and pay all these guys. The Giants aren't in that position here. The Giants aren't in a position to win football games, ruining their draft stock and capital over the next 2 to 3 years at this point. So for me, I'm not doing it. You can't do it. You can't sign Aaron Rodgers.
I would agree, DRS. You have some cap space in there if you wanted to. I don't think it's worth it, although I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is going to play for a big contract, maybe a veteran minimum or something of a discounted deal. I also don't think the addition of Aaron Rodgers really changes New York's outlook all that much this offseason. When he went total of 4.5, be 5.5, great. Would I bet on Aaron Rodgers leading the G-men to 6 or 7 wins? No. So there is no reason to then add him. He does not benefit your team. You should be focused on the future, a future that you ruined this offseason, having the 3rd overall pick and not the 1st. And you've got 2 lame duck head coaches and GMs combined with Joe Shane, the GM in the front office, Brian Daboll as your head coach. The focus is not on 2025, sadly for Giants fans. It's on 2026 and beyond. You don't need to win this year. And that's a sad reality to sit with early in March, understanding that 2025 could be a catastrophe in terms of your win-loss record this upcoming NFL campaign. The addition of Aaron Rodgers does not benefit that. The only thing it adds is more eyeballs and notoriety. Because although we understand Aaron Rodgers is not what he once was, there will still be that in the back of our mind. And Aaron Rodgers in front of a microphone that will bring the attention and expect maybe bigger things than he can guarantee. There is no reason to sign Aaron Rodgers whatsoever if you are the Giants this offseason.
Exactly. And understand the division you're in the game of football. We talked about the AFC West. It's like, hey, Vegas Raiders, who are you going to sign here? Everybody else has who they think is going to be their franchise quarterback. Look at the NFC East. Same thing. Washington, franchise guy. Eagles, franchise guy. Dak Prescott, say what you want, 30 to 31 years old, $90 million. That's their franchise guy. They know exactly who they're going into the season with, and over the next 5 to 6 seasons, that's who they're going to battle. You sign a guy like Aaron Rodgers, hey, great, he's our guy next year, and what about the year after that and down the line? You saw that number, 3 wins for the New York Giants. Your goal next year should be 3 wins for the New York Giants. Heck, even if you draft a quarterback and trade up, make it 3 so you can get better draft picks. But also, as I say that, if the Giants are going to have to trade up from 3 to 1 and then win 3 games next year, you know what they're going to do? Same thing the Carolina Panthers did. Wait a second. We traded up for a quarterback who might be able to find his legs, but you were so bad, you didn't even get to capitalize on that bad season and get another high draft pick because you traded away to the Chicago Bears to get that said draft pick. Giants, don't make the mistake. You're so close. Right. Don't make the mistake. Tank it out.
Donnie, and there is a thought right now with the New York Giants odds to be the team selecting 1st overall and some speculation leaving Indianapolis that maybe Joe Shane does push all the chips into the middle of the table and makes that move to get up to number 1 in the draft board. A move that could have happened had they just lost as a touchdown underdog against the Colts team that actually needed a win to stay in playoff consideration, but that revisionist history. I do not think it would be wise to make that move. And after the week in Indianapolis, where there were 3 teams entering the week at 200-1, the longest number to win a Super Bowl this upcoming season, only 2 remain. The 2 teams that missed out, perhaps, on Matthew Stafford, the Giants and the Raiders, both at 200-1 to win Super Bowl 60, the longest odds around the NFL. That is your outlook. And frankly, that needs to be your understanding. But I don't think Shane and Daboll are just going to sit there and take it, which makes this all very interesting, kind of a different recipe this season for the G-men.
It does. And understand this. If Daboll wasn't the coach and Shane wasn't the general manager, there would be no Aaron Rodgers talk. There would be no sign Sam Darnold talk. They'll be like, you know what? I'm going to make my mark on this franchise. The franchise starts now. We're going to find our young quarterback. We're going to get our franchise guy, and we're going to live with that here. That's the issue that you have. When you're bringing back coaches and general managers and people, it's human nature to go into survival mode just for yourself. That's what's happening with the New York Giants.
Tony, there's a good chance that even if the Giants move up the board or end up with a quarterback at 3rd overall, that quarterback will be coached by a new head man under the guidance of a new GM. Entering 2026 as well. Plenty more coming your way. Some NBA handicap up next on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Seven games played around the association on this Monday night. We will preview a ton of them here on the Early Line. You want picks? You want previews? You want breakdowns? You've come to the right place. The two premier NBA handicappers on this here Spiz Grizz Network, live right on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. DRS, our first game to break down, potentially a playoff preview around the Western Conference. The Oklahoma City Thunder, unless something disastrous happens to their play down the home stretch of this season, will be the one seed in the Western Conference. The Rockets trying to battle for that playoff positioning. 4-5 seed, we shall see where Houston ends up. OKC on the road last night. A rather big game for the Thunder. They got into a scuffle against the San Antonio Spurs, winning by 14 on the road, nearly scoring 150. Why hear about that game when you can look at this playoff preview? Now a 9.5-point spread in favor of OKC back home. Total of 228.5. What do you like tonight? Will it be a comfortable Thunder win?
I think the Thunder do win, but I'm agreeing here with this line movement here. By the way, FanDuel in New Jersey yesterday opened this line at minus 12. It's down to 9.5 here. Most of the outlets across the board also at 9.5. But take a look at the total. 222.5, the opening number, juiced up a touchdown up to 228.5. So I do think we get points in scoring, but it is one of those things again. Really good basketball team at OKC. You think they can win. Doesn't mean they have to be by double digits. I would have liked to have that line over double digits where it doesn't sit right now. But I got to tell you, if you played yesterday and you had a tough game, you're still playing on a back-to-back. Yes, I understand it's at home. Give me the Houston Rockets to stay within double digits in this basketball game. I'll buy that line movement.
DRS, six games for OKC since returning from the All-Star break. They've been at least a 9-point favorite in all six. The Thunder have been favored in all but two games this year, including that NBA Cup title game against the Milwaukee Bucks. And in the six games since returning from All-Star weekend, six consecutive overs for the Thunder. They have won 5 of 6. They have only covered 3 times. Every time they have covered, they have won by double digits as a double-digit favorite. But Houston, 11-7-1 against the spread as an underdog. The Rockets, who near the end of January were 32-14 in prime position as the 2 seed in the Western Conference standings, have dropped 9 of their last 14, trying to play better basketball, focused on that playoff positioning. I do think Houston can keep this game within striking distance. Elsewhere in the Lone Star State, a play-in tournament preview perhaps between the two teams in the 9 and 10 spots in the Western Conference standings. Sacramento, 31-28, 9 seed. Dallas, 32-29, 10 seed at this moment in the Western Conference standings. And Dallas, a slight home underdog, getting 2 points from Sacramento, total of 231.5. What's the play tonight in Big D?
Yeah, see that graphic, -1.5 for the Dallas Mavericks. That was the opening number here of the FanDuel in New Jersey. Now we're back over to a 2-point favorite, but not for the Mavericks. It's actually for the Sacramento Kings. 234.5, that opening number, now down to 231.5. Big injury information for the Sacramento Kings. You know me, love myself a good hamstring injury. Domantas Sabonis is not going to be active for this game and not even reevaluated, Ben, for at least 1 week. But having said that, Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Jonas Valanciunas, who can be a competent guy to come into the center position, I just think they're better than the Dallas Mavericks. And again, I'm reading into this line, even though it's a heavy public favorite right now in the Kings, I'm going to take the Kings even without Domantas Sabonis.
You know, I would look at it as well, DRS. Sacramento, weirdly, has only played 4 games since the All-Star break, but they have won their last 3, including outright in their last one on the road against the Rockets over the weekend on Saturday. They are now getting points here in that spot, laying points here, excuse me, against Dallas. Yeah. The Mavs, who have often been an underdog since the trade of Luka Doncic, 17-14-1 against the spread as an underdog this season. Dallas trying to hold on to a play-in tournament spot. But with the Suns losing last night, it's a 4-game difference, DRS. It almost seems that in terms of teams on the outside of a postseason format trying to grab a play-in tourney position, that's pretty much done with the Suns being four games out. The Spurs without Victor Wembanyama not going to make any noise here down the home stretch of this regular season. It's really a conversation of can teams in the play-in tournament currently maybe get out and into the playoffs right away? Golden State trying to do that in catching the LA Clippers. Speaking of the Dubs, disappointing result on Saturday night in Philadelphia. Without Jimmy Butler in the starting lineup, they lose as a 6.5-point road favorite in Philadelphia. Now they take on one of the worst teams in the NBA tonight on the road in Charlotte. 12.5-point spread in favor of the Warriors against the Hornets. Total at 228. That number on the rise early here on a Monday morning as well.
Yeah, we'll probably get points. You don't like to have the Warriors, who played yesterday in a horrible Sixers, against a horrible Sixers team, to get beat and then go on the road and face a horrible Charlotte team. You know they're going to win, but there's one thing to be said about that. I think the Golden State Warriors have a legitimate chance to win this by two touchdowns and cover that spread, because you look at the Hornets, like, they're not even really being competitive, even against the dregs of the NBA. And the fact that yesterday, if you would have saw the Warriors go in and handle their business against the Philadelphia 76ers, maybe it's different. I expect a big performance by the Warriors, which means getting back Jimmy Butler in the lineup who sat out yesterday due to that back-to-back. I think they win by double digits in this game. So I will go with the line movement from 11.5 up to 12.5. I think Golden State wins this one by two touchdowns.
As they probably should, DRS, with Jimmy Butler in the lineup, because he did not play against the Philadelphia 76ers on Saturday. They have still won 7 of 8. They have been booked as a favorite in all 8 games. They have covered in all 7 wins. Jimmy Butler does have a points prop listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 17.5, the number tonight, as Butler and the Dubs head on the road to take on the Hornets. 26.5 is the number for Stephen Curry, who was pretty good on Saturday against the 76ers. Speaking of Philly, DRS, three-point home favorite for Philadelphia tonight against the Portland Trailblazers. The Trailblazers playing an OT last night against the Cavaliers, but have been a really good team as an underdog. Why are the 76ers laying points to anybody at this juncture?
Because you're buying a ticket to the Grimies again tonight. What's going to follow up with a 50 spot tonight at this point? But by the way, two-game win streak for the Sixers is going to break me here. Give me the points. Give me the points. Not even a handicap. Just give me the points, man. Give me them.
More around the NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know things are good for the NBA when the tease into this segment. Can the Hawks continue their play-in tournament push in a 7-game slate tonight? We're going to talk about Atlanta's road trip to Memphis against the Grizzlies. The Grizz actually need to figure some things out. Lost 4 of 6 games since the All-Star break. The Hawks have dropped 4 of 5. Every game that they have lost, they have been booked as an underdog. And Donnie, I've been here a ton talking about how much better Atlanta has been this year as an underdog because they were porous, covering numbers when not expected to win the previous two NBA seasons. In fact, since the All-Star break, again, 1-4 straight up, 1-4 against the spread, the only win and cover as a slight favorite. Their 4 losses, 4 non-covers as an underdog. They had covered in their previous 6 games as a dog. Tonight in Memphis, you bet on it, Atlanta is getting points as well. A 9-point spread in favor of the Grizz, but Donnie, as you alluded to, maybe the story is that total. North of 250, 253.5 for tonight in the Grindhouse.
By the way, usually you would see that line, Ben, and say, oh my goodness, like it opened up at 250.5, it's 253.5. You would just take the under because theoretically that is like 130 to 120 and you still don't even win the total going over. Yeah. But having said that, like I'm looking at scores from Memphis over the past handful of games, same thing with the Atlanta Hawks, and there are games that get close to 300 points that they've scored in previous games. So for me, I'm going to go, I'd like to say, like, sometimes just look at the line, like, that's a stone cold line. That line tells me it's over, Ben. That line tells me, like, 255 points are on the way, and we shouldn't be surprised. Like, we're not even going to overtime. Like, 151, 148, you just played a game against the Suns, talking about the Memphis Grizzlies here. And we know Atlanta doesn't play any defense, and they had an unbelievable game. I believe it was against the Detroit Pistons. Give me the over. 253.5, and I'm going over tonight. Yes, I am.
The Memphis Grizzlies have gone over in three of their last four games in DRS, and they have gone over that number. It's not just, hey, the total was 237 and a hook, and it was 238 points. Every time the Grizzlies have played to the over in three of their last four, we have seen at least 255-plus points, including the highest-scoring game of the season last week against the Suns, 151-148, as Donnie said, nearly 300 points. The Grizzlies have the second-highest over percentage in the NBA, 37 of 60 games to the over, 61.7%. Atlanta has played 35 of its 60 games to an over, 58.3%. Thus, you get that number. The Detroit Pistons playing really good basketball at this moment, of course. Did see their 8-game win streak come to a close, but bounced back with a victory over the weekend as well. DRS Detroit on the road tonight in Salt Lake. Detroit, 5-game lead over the Magic for that 6th spot in the Eastern Conference. And as you see there, the Pistons a hefty favorite. No longer double digits. 9-point spread in favor of Detroit. Total 232.5 tonight against the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, Detroit gets the win, but I'm not going to cover them up to 10 points on the road because I do understand how bad the Utah Jazz are, but it's still a game at elevation, which is a little bit quirky for some of the teams not used to playing there. So I do think it's comfortable. And also, you saw the graphic was at 10.5. And again, as I told you also, that line is now down to 9, and I agree with that line movement. Pistons win the game, not comfortable laying close to double digits. I'll lean on a bad Jazz team at home just to hang around here tonight.
8-23 straight up at that elevation in Salt Lake. Utah, the worst team in the Western Conference, 15-45 because the Pelicans have actually played better basketball since returning from the All-Star break. 31 home games for Utah this year, booked as a dog in 30 of them, and they are 17-13 against the spread. Despite the fact that Detroit has won 9 of its last 10, they have not been booked as a favorite all that often this year. Just 23 games, 12-11 against the number for the Pistons. Again, Detroit in a great position to not have to flirt with a play-in tournament spot, but a 5-game advantage over Orlando for that 6-7 split. The Pistons, a playoff team, and by a comfortable margin, Donnie, if the season ended today.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to watch it play out at this point because this is a team that we always thought had a lot of talent, just couldn't put it together. Made some changes here, Kate Cunningham coming into his own, and maybe they could be a factor, but it's great to see Detroit basketball back in the playoffs with a quality team. Hey, how about that?
Still 100-1 for the Pistons to win the Eastern Conference crown, despite the fact they would be a playoff team. I said 5 games over Orlando, 5 games in front of Miami, 5.5 in front of the Magic. Orlando on a slide, now in the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference standings. The Prop Perspective on a Monday. TV Tom next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Prop Perspective to set the stage for this new week. Live on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid with TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid joining us here on TEL. Tom, as always, hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for being here on the Early Line.
Thanks for having me. It is an awesome time to be a sports fan, as I often say. We have the NHL trade deadline this Friday. We are, absolute crunch time for both NBA and NHL. We are approaching conference tournaments. We have spring training going on. We'll dive into some MLB. Let's get to it.
Let's get right to it, Vecchio. We've got a 7-game slate around the association. 6 games on the ice tonight in the National Hockey League. Both leagues in their stretch run, trying to firm up that playoff positioning all around both the NBA and the NHL. And Tom, don't look now, but if the Detroit Pistons ended their season today, they would be a playoff team from the very jump. No need for a play-in tournament when you have a 5-game lead for the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. Detroit, of course, was riding an 8-game win streak entering the weekend, had that snapped by the Nuggets, but it was still their longest in nearly 2 decades and did bounce back with a win over the weekend. So 9 of the last 10, The Pistons have been victorious, hoping to continue the winning ways tonight in Salt Lake. 9-point favorite against the Utah Jazz. What's the play for tonight out in Utah?
This is going to Malik Beasley over 4.5 threes. It's sitting at -106, and 4.5 is a high line. You know, today there are some different promotions on FanDuel. It is trade day, March 3rd. So some promotions around three pointers. Love the fact that he got ejected in the most recent game. Love the fact that he's just taking a high volume of threes, 9.4 attempts per game. That's the fifth most in the league. So we're not looking for him necessarily to be super efficient. And this is what I said yesterday about Anthony Edwards when I was doing in-game live with Jordan Avery. Like, we look at these game logs and he's taking 10, 11, 12, 13 attempts, which is great. And we look at the matchup, obviously, Utah, bottom 10 league in terms of most threes allowed. So we can get the promotions involved, we can go for the number, and we get the ejection coming off this recent narrative, whatever you want to call it. But the volume of attempts should be there. So he doesn't need to go out there and hit 5 out of 6, 5 out of 8. He can go 5 out of 15, and that's totally fine and puts him in the spot to hit over 4.5 threes tonight.
Volume, volume, volume. And when we say that in the NBA tonight, no more volume than a game, Tom, that has 253.5 points on the board here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm not even asking for a handicap X's and O's here. When you see numbers like that, and again, I always like to point out, they don't just pick this number out of a hat. It's like, wow, can't believe they came up with that. There's a reason for it. When you see numbers like this, what's your thought process on that?
My thought process is that we're going to see so many possessions back and forth, which can lead to various different things in the prop market, depending on, like, you have to tell yourself a story. Like, are you going to say, like, oh, these players are going to be taking all these shots? And obviously, they're going to hit a ton. So a lot of players will be cruising over their player props in terms of points, PRA, whatever it might be. But also means that we can probably key in on some players to theoretically ladder up. I don't like going to necessarily so many spots. I would actually rather take the under on this game overall. And then if it starts off slow, we can hit a live over, maybe a 230 live over-ish. And then we have a nice wiggle room to find like a really, really solid middle where the game ends on 240. No one's going to be surprised based on, A, the initial game line and the offense is back and forth. But we actually have an opportunity to find like a lot of value both live, live, and then from the pregame number. So you can take it whichever way you want. If you think everyone's going to be cruising over their points, just bet like 4 different players, 5 different players, and you just hope that 3 of the 5 go over and you'll come out net positive.
Vecchio, at this stage, if you're involved in the postseason, whether that be just a playoff spot from the very start or battling for play-in tournament positioning, every game is going to have a little bit more significance in terms of your overall record and where you stand in that seed list. Two spots tonight. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 10.5 game advantage now for the one seed out west, but battling a Rockets team that is trying to host the opening round of the playoffs if they can be the 4 seed, currently in that 5 spot in the Western Conference standings. 9.5 point spread in favor of OKC at home. A potential play-in tournament preview. From the very start, that 9-10 matchup in Dallas, the Mavericks getting 2.5 points against the Sacramento Kings at home. Of course, Dallas without Luka Doncic and still does not have Anthony Davis out there just yet either. In any of those two spots, Vecchio, where do you think you can find that best handicap for a game that should have a lot of implications?
Yeah, so for Sacramento, they recently announced that Sabonis is out indefinitely. I believe it's a grade 1 hamstring issue, grade 1, grade 2, whatever it is. But he's going to be out indefinitely. Like, that removes such a high volume of production out of their offense. So it's going to be someone else stepping up. So I don't mind looking to a Zach LaVine, also again a player, or Keegan Murray, a player we can throw into like this trade day promotion. Players that we know shoot high volume of threes and are very good at it. So the offense that is missing because of Sabonis, along with the rebounds, if you want to go there, that's certainly fine. But I think looking for the offense against a Mavericks defense, I'm not particularly super high on. I think you can go there as well. I don't have a specific pick for that game. But, of course, if I have something later, I'll of course, find it over on Twitter and post that there.
I know you got something for this one. Let's go over to the Ice Advice with our guy, TV Tom Vecchio here. The Battle of New York, the Islanders and the Rangers. Sorokin versus Shesterkin. By the way, line opened up at a -140 price as a favorite towards New York, down to -118 in FanDuel. What are some looks for this game for you?
Yeah, so Rangers on the second night of a back-to-back. They have begun to sit some players because those players are likely to be traded. They've also made some trades over the last few days. They now have a bunch of rookies, or at least two notable rookies, starting in their lineup. The Rangers are also winning games, which I just don't expect them to continue. The Islanders aren't a bad team. They're also not great. They're a fine team, and the Rangers are ultimately a fine team. So specifically, I don't mind the Islanders' money line. Maybe that's just an emotional hedge. I like the game over 5.5, absolutely. That was sitting at minus 115. It's up to minus 130 or so. They've had at least 6 goals in 8 of the last 10 matches between these two teams. And then I really like Bo Horvat for over 2.5 shots on goal. It is up at minus 140. It's a little bit of juice there. He's had at least 2 shots on goal in 8 of his last 9 games. Since the start of February, we look at the Rangers' defense. They're allowing 64 total shot attempts per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations. That is the 8th worst in the league. They've begun to trade away some of their key defenders. Adam Fox is on IR. They trade away Ryan Lindgren. They have, again, new players and rookies in their lineup. And over that same time, the Islanders, surprisingly, an offense that isn't very good, they actually have the 8th most shot attempts generated. So I see this as a spot for the Islanders to bounce back after the kind of smoking that the Rangers gave them the past few days ago.
So, Vecchio, as we stay on the ice, of course, there is also the hunt for history. Alexander Ovechkin looking for goal number 895 to become the all-time scoring leader, passing the great one in Wayne Gretzky in NHL history. Despite the fact the Caps, who have the best record around the Eastern Conference, have dropped 2 of their last 3, or 3 straight, I should say, Ovechkin has scored in 2 of the last 3, including against the Lightning over the weekend. The Caps in action tonight. Alexander Ovechkin to tickle the twine. What do we like?
So I don't mind Ovechkin's goal price. I would actually rather go to his shot attempts. And the connection I'll make is that this really reminds me of when Aaron Judge was chasing the home run record a couple of years ago, where we saw Aaron Judge's home run price at like plus 225, plus 250, which is an absolutely horrible price for a home run. We are seeing Ovechkin's goal price at that same spot. It's like plus 105, plus 110. So, and that's not like, that's not a good price for a goal prop. It should be at like plus 130, plus 140. That's where I would look to get it, ideally look to get it. So I actually prefer shot attempts because he's going to be looking to take the shots. The goals are going to be variable, but the shot attempts should still be consistent. So don't necessarily buy into what are lines that have moved because the books are moving because they know there's so much volume and so much attention for this.
Yeah, how about that? Good stuff all the way around, Tom. But by the way, also, Major League Baseball on the horizon. No better time to get some futures out there for the people. The Guardians of the Galaxy? Where are we going here, Tom?
Well, yeah, let's go to Tanner Bibee. Over 162.5 strikeouts for the entire season. He is really set up to be the ace of the team. Last season, he had 173.2 innings pitched with 187 strikeouts. Based on the projections that I do, again, I don't do my own. I aggregate a lot of projections. I have him basically between 171 and 188 if we apply like a 10% variance to his projections. And we have about a 26% strikeout rate. So based on, I'm going to say his consistency, he doesn't walk a lot of people. He has a low barrel rate allowed. He has a good cold-plus swinging strike rate, his good swinging strike rate, all these things that you want Bibee to have. He is set up to be the ace of the Guardians and push to 180-plus total innings, which should put him in a good spot. Again, there's a little wiggle room between 180-some-odd strikeouts and 162, which his prop is at. I think we're in a good spot with Bibee.
Love that look for the Guardians, the reigning champs around the American League Central. Tom Vecchio, as always, thank you for the prop perspective. College basketball on a Monday, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a week in college basketball. On the men's side, you have the balance between the final week of the regular season at the high major level and conference tournaments that have already begun at the mid-major level, trying to earn that automatic bid, winning a conference tournament into the big dance in all that we are going to see this week. The month of March, even before the official madness underway in the NCAA tournament, is always chaotic and important. Let's start in the Big 12, where Houston has already won an outright regular season crown, the second consecutive year for the Cougs in each of their 2 years in the Big 12, going home with a conference tournament and being the one, or conference regular season crown and being the one seed in the conference tournament. So, Donnie, there might be an idea how motivated is Houston at this moment as they host Kansas, a team that really needs to find its footing entering the postseason. 9.5-point spread tonight in H-Town in favor of the Cougs. Total at 132.5. Can Houston win comfortably and cover tonight against KU?
They should be able to because, again, styles make fights in this point. And as you said, they're looking to find their footing on offense. They're not going to find their footing on offense tonight against the Houston Cougars defense. Number one in Big 12 play. Now, keep in mind, there's 16 teams in the Big 12 here. You take a look at the three-point matchup. I always say this, Ben. How do you attack Houston when they're just absolutely ferocious? You must shoot over them from the three-point line, and they're 15th out of 16 teams at letting you shoot the three-point shot in Big 12 play. Perfect, right? That's a great recipe. Why would if I told you volume-wise, Kansas is 14th out of 16 teams at shooting the three-point shot, which means they'll take their chances, but not liberally out there, and that's going to hurt them. Why? Point distribution in conference play for Kansas. You know they have the big Hunter Dickinson, like to go inside. Yep. They're number one at 57% of their offense coming from inside the arc. However, who's the nastiest, grimiest defense in the Big 12? It's Houston. How about their point distribution? 16th out of 16 teams, which means you don't want the three-point shot and you're looking to take it inside here against Houston. That's not going to work. So if you want to say, yes, they can hang around talking about Kansas, but if there's one play to make just in the morning spitballing here, it's probably a Kansas team total to the under because this style doesn't make for a great fight with that Kansas offense.
Houston has won 8 straight games. They've only covered in half of those. You felt like the game against Cincy at home on Saturday would maybe not be the Cougs' best performance. They still win by 9, comfortably 73-64, but booked as a 12.5-point home favorite. Didn't feel like, all right, Houston's going to hammer this Bearcats team. I do wonder about tonight. Houston still playing for the one line. They are certainly in position to be a one seed in the big dance. Kansas just trying to play good basketball. The Jayhawks not going to miss the NCAA tournament. But we have no idea where the Jayhawks are going to be. 8 seed, 9 seed, 10 seed. 2 consecutive decades of being a 4 seed or better in the big dance. Very likely going to come to a close here in 2025 for Bill Self and the Jayhawks. How bad are things in Lawrence? Bill Self released a statement on Saturday night after KU lost at home in the fog as a 3.5-point favorite against a good Texas Tech team. Not to address some crazy situation, although I'm sure the fans were not saying very nice things to that Kansas bench during the game, even at home. Not to address something that happened off the court or some big scandal, just to basically say, we are going to hope to play better basketball down the stretch. And if you need to criticize this team, come after me. What? You don't see a statement released on official Kansas letterhead unless I thought Bill Self retired on Saturday. He did not. Donnie, I don't know if I'm going to back Kansas to keep this game within margin. As an underdog in Big 12 play 3 times, 0-3 against the spread, over in their last 2. But much like you, I kind of think Houston dominates this game. Can they dominate and win by 10? Sure, absolutely. Do I want to bet on it? No, I don't have a great feel for this one. But I'm not confident that just because Kansas needs to play better basketball, they will tonight in the Fertitta Center.
No, and you're right about that, too. And you try to steal buckets, as we like to say, when you're playing a better basketball team, which is Houston, is better than Kansas. Understand this, too. Kansas, 13th out of 16 teams, Ben, at getting to the free throw line. Even though Houston will foul you, they probably can't take advantage of that. And if you're looking for point distribution, 13th out of 16 teams is Kansas at the free throw line. So you're not even stealing free buckets, which means every possession is going to be a grind for the Kansas Jayhawks tonight.
Yes, it is certainly going to be. DRS, let's go to the ACC. Huge game for Duke. Try to hold everybody off to stay atop the ACC. Win the first regular season crown under John Shire, and maybe more importantly, be the number one seed in the ACC tournament starting next week. The Blue Devils, of course, just 1 loss in ACC play. They're 17-1 straight up with 2 more games to go. They have won 6 straight. They have covered in their last 5 as at least an 8.5-point favorite in all of those. And the only non-cover is a 23.5-point favorite against Cal. They won that game by 21. Duke has gone over in 5 straight and in 8 of their last 10 as they host a Wake Forest team tonight inside Cameron Indoor. If the Demon Deeks are going to make the NCAA tournament, they need to steal a few down the stretch. Not expected to steal this one. 20.5 is now 19.5, but still a 19.5 point spread in favor of the Dukies at home.
And that's what happens when you have the number one most efficient offense in conference play and also the number one most efficient defense in conference play. That's the Duke Blue Devils. If you're trying to line up an angle for this game, you know, Wake Forest does have a pretty good defense. They're very good at turning you over, but Duke's number one in conference play at not turning the basketball over. Here's where the game's going to come down to whether or not they're going to cover that large number. So maybe you want to bet the 19.5, 20.5. Here's the way I would play. Duke is fantastic from behind the arc at 39.6%, rounded up to 40%. They're also number two in conference play at taking the three-point shot. You know who's dead last in conference play at letting you shoot the three-point shot? It's Wake Forest. However, they do defend it extremely well. So if they're going to have a big game for Duke, the three ball is going to have to go down. There's going to be a lot of them. Look at some of those players from the three-point line tonight. That's the attack advantage for Duke. They're probably going to shoot at least 50% of their shots from three-point range. Capitalize on that. Don't worry about the total. Don't worry about the side. Yeah. Things will take care of themselves if they make the three-point shot tonight.
Wake started off ACC play 7-1 before hosting Duke in a huge game a couple of weekends ago. Lost that game, but did cover. We'll see if that happens tonight. Johnny, enjoy the money line. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the month of March, live right here on the Early Line as we round out the first Monday in March. 5 weeks from right now, we'll be getting ready for the national championship game in San Antonio to crown a national champ in the men's NCAA tournament. So everything that happens from this point on has direct implications for the big dance. And, of course, conference regular season finales as we get ready to end out the regular season at the high major level. Conference tournament positioning in terms of where you will stand in the bracket, who wins the regular season championship, and further implications for the NCAA tournament, trying to make sure you are on the right side of the bubble or bolster your seed line. A lot to love tonight in college basketball. As we continue with A-Sun tournament action, it is quarterfinal Monday in the Atlantic Sun Conference Tournament. We'll talk about those games in just a moment. But starting tomorrow, three more mid-major leagues enter the fold. The Horizon League, the Patriot League, and the Sun Belt. You have seen the WCC tournament bracket, I am sure. It looks like a crazy staggered line where those top teams in the bracket pretty much go all the way to the semifinals, and they are trying to position the best teams in the conference to earn that automatic bid when there might only be one bid available for said mid-major league. The A-Sun looks like that, the Sun Belt looks like that gauntlet as well. It starts tomorrow. It should be fun. On Wednesday, Big South, Northeast, Ohio Valley, in the Summit League. How about the Omaha Mavericks? The first regular season outright crown for the Mavs in school history. Picked to finish eighth in the league. The Mavs will be the one seed in the Summit League. But just because you win a regular season championship does not guarantee you will play in March Madness, in the big dance. You still need to win your conference tournament, and Omaha not booked as the favorites, but they have been defying the odds all year long, plus 550. The Missouri Valley, a tournament known as Arch Madness, begins on Thursday in the West Coast Conference as well. Arch Madness is going to be great. Drake avoided what would have been a very costly upset yesterday against Missouri State. And this year, Ben McCollum and the Bulldogs have been sensational. Only three losses, in my estimation, and many around the bracketology science field getting ready for the big dance. The Bulldogs have done enough to be an at-large team, regardless of what happens in MVC tournament play. It is a great league. Bradley, Northern Iowa, they will be hunting down Drake for that automatic bid. But I do believe that regardless of the result in Arch Madness, Drake should be dancing. One of the issues, though, once you get to this time of year, if mid-major conference tournament play does not go as expected and you get some bid stealers, especially at the high major level, teams that have no business being on the right side of the bubble, bolstering their resume either with a deep run in conference tournament action or just winning the conference tournament and thus the automatic bid, see NC State a year ago. Some of those worthy mid-majors get left on the outside of the tournament looking in. It is all part of the madness here in March. As we shared, a couple of big games for top five teams tonight. Houston, 9.5-point favorite against Kansas. Duke, nearly a 20-point home favorite against Wake Forest. Duke, by the way, has been at least a 20-point favorite in its last two games. They have covered the number in both of those. In the Big Ten, we continue some action. Northwestern has a very long road to get to the NCAA tournament, but the Cats, despite being without two of their best players down the home stretch, Brooks Barnheiser and Jalen Leach have been playing great basketball as of late under Chris Collins. Tonight in Evanston, the Wildcats host UCLA. The Bruins have not been great away from the West Coast. Only one win outside of the Pacific time zone for UCLA in Big Ten play. That was against Indiana in Assembly Hall before this version of IU had really figured things out. How about some A-Sun quarterfinal action where the top two teams in the conference tournament enter the fold? That would be the one seed. Lipscomb, they're a minus money favorite to win the conference tournament, taking on the upset-minded Central Arkansas side that knocked off last year's A-Sun tournament champ in Stetson last night. North Alabama in what could be a testy game against Austin Peay. I took Austin Peay with 11.5 points tonight. Maybe Lipscomb first half team total against UCA. It is 39.5, some juice on the over. Oh, barely made it through that. My heart is racing. My voice is almost gone. That is the beauty of March. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time.